audience, it's Matt here. Why do I sound so nasal? Mr. B. Nobody will get that. You'd have to be really old to understand what that reference is. Mr. B. It's nasal. Anyway. I really didn't feel like a grum today, but, John Werner sent me some wonderful album art, which might prove itself a tad controversial, so I think I'm finched heard, like, just bury it in the podcast itself as album art, which means the only way you're probably going to be able to see it is if you, have pocket casts and open her up that way. Or if you'd like download the file itself and load it in iTunes, maybe. I don't know. But it's a funny kind of meme thing. And I think it's funny. So I did a podcast. And, you know, that's nice about crowdsourcing things, because it means that I can do a grum, because somebody felt inspired by certain happenings, and then the reaction inspired me, and I, in turn, Graham. This is a said grum that I'm graming. I guess I'll walk up and down a lane place first before I walk towards Holdstead's. So this is said grum. However, I don't have much to say, because I don't feel like talking. But it's nice to talk when you don't have anything to talk about, because you can just talk about nothing. Which is fine, because I don't want to talk about anything. Talking about nothing is fine. I mean, it made Jerry Seinfeld very famous, just talking about nothing, writing shows about nothing. Though that was actual work, whereas this is really not at all. Though I am at work, I'm on break. I put my instant message thing. I still say instant message instead of message. That's a cute kitty cat in the window. It's message. Instant message thing. I put it on, you know, away, so that nobody fucking bothers me. Oh, somebody bought Diatomaceous Earth cookies. Oh, no, that's not cookies. What do you use that for? I think that's for people with cockroaches. I wouldn't move there, because when there's an Amazon package containing Dichotomous Earth, or Dictatomous Earth, Hippopotamus Earth, or whatever, I wouldn't live there. The only thing I know that that's good for is killing cockroaches. It makes a path. I know this because if you were listening to this program years ago, a few years ago when I lived in Florida, you would know that I had a German cockroach issue problem. Holder thing. Oh, Jesus Christ. I can't believe how old I am. I turned another, you know, small hand on the clock, on the aging calendar thing, and boy, I'm fucking old. It really is quite a victory to be this old, you know, because it's not easy to survive life. We've got pandemics, plural, that I've survived. We have bacterial vaginosis that I've survived. That's not a pandemic, that's just an itch. All kinds of things. Horrible, you know, depressive moments, living overseas, very lonely, and all that sort of thing. But drama after drama survived. I am Gloria Gaynor, general audience. I have survived many years of this life. And that. So, yeah, I don't really have much to say today. I don't want to talk heavy. Or do I? I don't know. Oh, there's one of those little groups of school children where they have the little leash. It's so cute. They, you know, it's like these daycare children. And they're like soap on a rope. They're all sort of strung together with grown-ups on both ends. And I guess that's how I don't think parents work from offices yet, do they? So they just, unless they, I mean, you'd have to really hate your kids to work in an office when you don't have to, right? Then they said they send their kids away. And they send their kids away, and they go work in their office. Well, I guess you don't have to if you send your kids away. So I guess you have two choices if you hate your kids. You can send them to daycare, put them on the string, or you can go to the office. But then who's going to watch them? I don't know. So Stacey Herbert of the Orange Pill and Kaiser Report sent me... Well, she didn't send me. She posted on the Twitter sheet. Am I recording? That would have sucked if I wasn't. Sent me... This is just going to be a short gram because I just want to post the album art. You know, it's just sort of a reintroduction into the world. But it was a graph, a retweet by Konstantin Gurdjieff. Interesting... smart guy to follow if you don't already. And he posted this chart that said male labor participation rates are at an all-time low, I believe since the 70s. And this economic shit always confuses me because I just am very... I'm dumb in that regard. I'm dumb in a lot of regards, but especially that one. Oh, looks, they changed the posters on the Hydrate Club. I'm walking on Halsted, which is sort of the sleazy gay street. It's not sleazy, it's the gay street, but, you know. It can be very hip and bouncy during the week, but right now it's a morning, a Monday morning, and it's just quiet. It's just quiet. Like my vagina. Just kind of sits there and eats. It's dry. So, where was I with this? I forgot completely. Yeah, so male labor participation rates in the United States are very low, which, and I asked Stacy, because I'm like, what the fuck does that mean? How is that different from unemployment? And so the difference is, unemployment is basically a measure that's more sort of statistically massaged, because it's kept artificially low because of the way it's counted, because it's really only looking at, you know, people who are actively looking for work. So that's why unemployment is a low number, you know. Not sure what it is now, but it's low. And but the difference is the white male labor participation. The labor participation is totally different, and that means that's just considering all men. White men, in this particular case, I mean, you can do it for women, too. The graph he posted was white men of working age, I guess, and the percentage that are actually working versus, I think it was 24 hours or more a week, and it was very low. So, yeah, so I don't know what to make of that. Stacy said they're going to do a Kaiser report about it next Tuesday, so that'll be interesting to see. But it shows that... I should probably keep my job, I guess, is what it means, right? I think that's what it means. I mean, I'm a lesbian, but still, I'm white. Not a male, thank God. A friend of mine suggested I should, if I do lose my job, I should put they-them pronouns on my Instacart. No, resume. My resume, I should put those pronouns, and then maybe I'll... be a little bit better off than the average, you know, she, her. You know, it's, you have to, I think, I don't know how people score candidates now. And does it help to have a disability? Like I don't know where qualifications go in that, but there must be like some sort of a scoring system where you put the person's qualifications, then you put their race, then you put their pronouns, then you put their gender, what they like to fuck, and handicappedness, and then you get a result to score them to see who the best candidate is, right? Is that how it works? Oh, there's a tampon applicator. It's blue. Like, dark blue. Why would you want something with that much coloring in your cunt? I mean, it looked like it was like the blue, like a deep royal blue that you would see like a 1980s Trans Am. You know, something that blue. And you're going to put that in your fucking vagina? You're going to put that in your pussy? Just so you can get what? Cancer? Toxic shock syndrome? I don't get it. So that, yeah, we have that. And I have a lot of things to discuss, but I now not on today. I wanted to get this out. I want to go visit some chickies, some chicky boobies, as Wintered Wisdom would say. Ah, God. Yeah. I really wish Wonder Wisdom would come back and do Eat the Such Show. That would be wonderful, but, you know, she's busy. She BLC. Yeah, so, that's that. Yeah, it's really a shame because that show is going so well. I thought both those shows were going so well, and then drop it like it's hot. Drop it like it's hot. It's over. So, that's a rough patch for Maid, I must say. A rough patch. Oh, Bicycle Mark released his episode where I discuss that and many things, many bitchy things. I think you should definitely listen to that. In fact, if you wanted a full podcast from me, you're not going to get it today. So I would suggest that after you're listening to me honk and babble about nothing, subscribe to citizenreporter.org and listen to the latest Grum. Where he talked to me, and we talked about such issues. A little disclaimer, though, that was recorded about a week after my text debacle with the girls of Eat the Such Show, but before we had the sort of even worse phone conversation regarding it. So, just, you know, time-wise, where that fell. So, in other words, I wasn't quite as pissed off at that point as I was later. Check that out. I think you'll enjoy that. Though my audio quality was a little glitchy, I'm not sure why. I think I must have. Next time I should just send him my audio file, because it seems like it went through a duty filter or something. Those are beautiful chairs. It's a mental health center, of course. Look at these amazing posters inside of this mental health center. Feelings are not facts. It's okay to not be okay. No creas, todo lo que piensas. Oh yeah, same thing. You are not alone in this. La salud mental importa. Your anxiety is lying to you. Está bien volver a empezar. Strive for progress, not perfection. Ooh. Feelings come, feelings go. I mean, who knew any of that? Who knew that? Nobody. That's why you need signs to tell you. Because without those signs, you would be a disaster and you wouldn't be able to pay for those chairs. Those really nice chairs. I mean, those chairs are gorgeous. I mean, if they didn't espouse such wisdom on posters in both Spanish and English, they would never be able to afford such beautiful chairs. Beautiful chairs. I mean, I don't know what brand they were. I mean, it wasn't like some postmodern chair thing with the Herman Miller or Charles and Ray Eames. It's not postmodern, whatever you call it, mid-century modern. But it was a pretty chair. I could tell they were expensive. Really high-quality wood and really nice chairs. And also, I also can trance. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But these headphones are so what happened is I'm using the headphones that came with my Roku device. When I bought the new TV, I believe I told you about this for Christmas. I did my taxes yesterday. What a relief. You know, that's always such a good feeling to get your taxes done, because they're such a pain in the ass, especially this year, because I had a home sale and I had all this bullshit with business. Oh, what a relief to get that shit done. And then they send you a text message saying your filing was accepted. Oh, what a relief, you know? What a relief. Anyway, my Roku. So, the Roku Ultra, it has a sort of a headphone jack, right? In the remote control. And you can listen to your Grums without bothering people if they're sleeping, right? Right, right. And so you can also use the app on the iPhone and then use your Bluetooth headphone. But forget about that. So it comes with these kind of shitty headphones. Not really shitty for 10 years ago, but shitty for today. They're in-ear headphones. So obviously no noise cancellation because they're cheap. But they have the like rubber tips. So you hear like the sound of your bones vibrating. Which I use the AirPods Pro, and it has this built-in noise cancellation that removes that horrible sound. But this one doesn't. But anyway, the reason... So, when my lesbian wife went to Peru a few weeks ago to see family, she always brings a lot of our stuff that we don't use that much. You know, like donations, clothes, electronics, whatever, because, you know, they're poor. And it's expensive. And hard to come by if that. So she said, oh, Madge, because that's my name, wife. Wife Madge, you don't need these headphones, right? And I said, no, I don't think I use them. They were the old-fashioned, like, round 1/8 of an inch things that I use, that the iPhones used to come with, you know, with the clicky-clack. And just normal headphones. But with the normal round plug, not the flat plug. And I couldn't remember using them. I have a terrible memory with my old age and Alzheimer. No Alzheimer movies for me, though, ever. I'm not... Every year, there's a fucking Alzheimer's movie. But Bill Maher was so right when he said, these fucking movies this year suck so bad. We have a pandemic, and there's nothing funny except Barb and Star, Vista Del Mar, which was great. The rest of the movies are just fucking depressing as hell. So it's bullshit. But anyway, But I forgot that I use that headphone. The one thing I do use it for is this gram. When I go outside, but I hadn't done it in like 6 months because I hadn't been outside more than that. I hadn't been outside, so, oh, fuck, right? Holy fuck. So, yeah. So, I'm stuck. So I had to use the Roku headphones, and now I hear my bones vibrating while I'm talking to you. But if it weren't for that, I wouldn't have anything to talk about as we make our way towards the check-ins. Now, here's the other problem. I didn't bring any food for the chuckles, so they're not going to be very nice to me. Also, big retraction from me. Now, you might recall that I was talking to Vivian the chicken last time we had a talk about her being tokenized, feeling tokenized as a chicken because she's black, and we were talking about beheadings of chickens in Mozambique. No pun intended, beak. But what I realized after that show is that I was using the wrong name. I was just so wrong. So there's another chicken who's black and white. She's somewhat black, and her name is Amelia Egghart. Right? But I mixed them up. So anyway, no, I'm wrong. It turns out I mixed up Amelia Egghart, who's sort of mulatto chicken, and Vivian, who is really... No, see, okay, the real chickens. I thought Vivian was the black, totally black chicken. I don't know if I'm allowed to say black. African-American chicken. Well, here they are. But the black chicken is named Amelia Egghart. Vivian is the black and white chicken. Well, one of them, there's two. The other one is... what is her name? I got to look at the list. Princess. Who's Princess? Oh, no, that's Princess Fluffy Butt. Regina George. Regina George and Vivian are the black and white chickens. Anyway, Amelia Egghart is the Schwartz, the black chicken. And I apologize. Ladies, here, let's see. Ladies, I don't have a food. Hello. Chicken. Hello. Oh, I know. Wait, I can give them little tree pieces. There's a tree that just bloomed and they like to eat the leaves, and now I can brock with them. Don't bite her. Oh. Magnolia is hungry. There's Rosie. Oh, sorry, Rose. Yeah. Ladies, where are the rest of these bitches? Where's popcorn? Oh, here's Amelia Earhart. I'm so sorry for misracing you. So what's new, ladies? Have you been watching The View? There's some very serious issues going on with Matt Gaetz. You don't care because you don't think she's... The 17 years old is that big a deal. Oh, I see. Well, Rosie thinks that... She was just telling me in Chicken that she thinks that people don't really take enough time to understand the difference between pedophilia and statutory rape. What difference does it make, Rosie? I'm not talking. I think they're a little afraid to get canceled. Oh, you don't like the sound of that garbage truck there. It ruins the grum. Yeah, I agree with you. But where's popcorn? Popcorn. Oh, I see. So she says that statutory rape, you know, you can have statutory rape with somebody if the girl's 17. But if it's pedophilia, according to Princess Fluffy Butt, pedophilia, that means they have to be under before puberty. I don't know why that matters. What are you even talking about? You're a chicken. Why does that matter if the guy's a predator? She thinks it's a distraction. And she thinks it helps to get the eyes off of Cuomo. What? Yeah, she thinks it's a distraction to keep the eyes off. I got a burp. It's hard to talk to chickens when they're not really that expressive about, you know, different... matters of importance. They think they're on The View, but they're not. Amelia, that was Amelia. She is very bitchy today. Amelia Earhart. She's upset that I misraced her. Is that what you call somebody if you misrace, miscategorize their race? Is that? No, I didn't miss. Well, I sort of did. I don't know. Because I thought she was. I thought she was somebody else because of her race. Is that misracing? But I didn't call her white, so that would be misracing if I called her white. I don't know. I don't really understand any. This is a terrible show. I'm really sorry, audience. What else? Fuck is popcorn? Let me find this bitch. I don't see popcorn. Maybe she's having a hard time pushing an egg out. Let me count them. Let's see. One, two, three, four. I only see four. Five, no. One, two, no. One, two, three. Four, five, six. There's Rosie. Seven. So there's two missing. Maybe they're having some lesbian action. I mean, it's not raining. I don't know why they would be inside. Hi, ladies. Okay, a little more. Where's popcorn? Go get popcorn. I miss her. No offense to you bitches, but she's my favorite one. Amelia, why are you so bitchy? Yeah. So cute. Girls. The girls. Me and some of them girls. Popcorn. Yeah, I don't know. Something's up. I'm a little worried. Well, okay. The garbage truck is too loud. I guess that's the issue. I think popcorn doesn't like the idea of these giant trucks picking up trash that are so... She feels like it's wasteful. She's got her own compost heap. And I think she thinks it's just wasteful to use all of this green... put all this carbon in the atmosphere to remove garbage. It's almost redundant, or it's extra. But what else are you going to do with the garbage, popcorn? I don't fucking know. Anyway. God, I've been talking 24 minutes. My break is overdue. Oiched. So, I might play some record after this, I guess. I haven't played records in a while. Maybe I'll play the whole Sidney Poitier Black Poetry side one, since, you know, it feels appropriate, because especially with what happened last night in Minneapolis. I guess it was Minneapolis, or maybe a suburb where they killed another black kid. I mean, the thing is, it's so awful. We don't know what happened there, of course, but the issue is there's progress being made with the Chauvin trial, but at the same time, I have a lot of issues because, you know, the cops have finally, as all the pundits say, broken the blue wall of silence, right? But at the same time, it's almost the opposite now, because they're just blaming the one guy instead of blaming the system. And I think that's why they're doing it. So at the Chauvin trial, they're going to say, oh, it was just this one guy. It's not the system. Well, then why does it keep fucking happening? Bad cops. Because when you have one bad cop out of 1,000, and black people are the ones that are terrorized, then it's terrorism. It's terrorism. To some extent, everyone's terrorized because they also do it to white people, but not nearly to the same degree. Nothing like it. So it's terrorism. It is terrorism by the police, as long as there's one bad cop. So they need to, you know, fix it. So, and you know, people say stuff with the guns and everything, and Biden is trying to do some things about the guns. I say get rid of the Second Amendment completely. And I also say, when people make this stupid argument, I've been watching old All in the Family episodes, and they had a laugh when Archie made the argument like, well, cars kill more people than guns, so get rid of cars. And then Meathead said, yeah, but people don't kill with cars on purpose. It's an accident. But, you know, I was thinking about that. I thought, you know what? Cars are horrible, too. Ban those. Ban cars. Ban guns. Fuck it. I mean, I don't think they really need to be banned, you know, but it would be nice if they would only be used for, like, essential services, right? When they're needed. When you have to go someplace alone. You know, where the public transportation is not. In other words, build the infrastructure. Sorry, I have boogers. Liquid snots. Build the infrastructure so that let's pretend we live in a world where everything is accessible by public transportation. In that world, I say ban cars, except for like service vehicles and stuff, because you don't need them. And you got to fix this fucking climate. You want to die? You want your kids to die? But you're still having them, so you're in denial. So fucking do something drastic. We have to. But I'm sure Mayor Pete will fix it all. Mayor Pete. Anyway, I mean, it's better than Trump. But where's my health care? I read about Bernie. He wants to reduce the Medicare age to 55. No coverage of that at all. It's just Matt Gaetz' forehead everywhere. Anyway, gotta go. Bye.
Stepped out on space and he looked around and said, I'm lonely. I'll make me a world. And God stepped out on space and he looked around and said, I'm lonely. I'll make me a world. And far as the eyes of God could see, darkness covered everything, blacker than 100 midnights down in a cypress swamp. Then God smiled, and the light broke, and the darkness rolled up on one side, and the light stood shining on the other, and God said, that's good. Then God reached out and took the light in his hands, and God rolled the light around in his hands until he made the sun. And he set that sun ablazing in the heavens. And the light that was left from making the sun, God gathered up in a shining ball and flung against the darkness, spangling the night with the moon and stars. Then down between the darkness and the light, he hurled the world. And God said, that's good. Then God himself stepped down. And the sun was on his right hand, and the moon was on his left. The stars were clustered about his head, and the earth was under his feet, and God walked. And where he trod, his footsteps hollowed the valleys out and bulged the mountains up. Then he stopped and looked and saw that the earth was hot and barren. So God stepped o'er to the edge of the world, and he spat out the seven seas. He batted his eyes, and the lightnings flashed. He clapped his hands, and the thunder rolled, and the waters above the earth came down. The cooling waters came down, and the green grass sprouted, and the little red flowers blossomed. And the pine tree pointed his finger to the sky, and the oak spread out his arms. The lakes cuddled down in the hollows of the ground, and the rivers ran down to the sea. And God smiled again, and the rainbow appeared and curled itself around his shoulder. Then God raised his arm, and he waved his hand o'er the sea and o'er the land, and he said, "Bring forth, bring forth!" And quicker than God could drop his hand, fishes and fowls and beasts and birds swam the rivers and the sea, roamed the forest and the woods, and split the air with their wings. And God said, "That's good." Then God walked around, and God looked around on all that he had made. He looked on his world with all its living things, and God said, "I'm lonely still." Then God sat down on the side of a hill where he could think. By a deep, wide river, he sat down with his head in his hands. God thought and thought till he thought, "I'll make me a man." Up from the bed of the river, God scooped the clay, and by the bank of the river, he kneeled him down. And there the great God Almighty, who lit the sun and fixed it in the sky, who flung the stars to the far corners of the night, who rounded the earth in the middle of his hand, this great God, like a mother bending over her child, kneeled down in the dust, toiling over a lump of clay, till he shaped it in his own image. Then into it he blew the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Amen, dear brothers, amen.
When I come in from the cornfields after working hard all day, it's amazing nice to find my supper all upon the way. And it's nice to smell a coffee bubbling over in the pot. And it's fine to see the meat a sizzling, teasing like, and hot. But when supper time is over and the things is cleared away, then the happy hours that follow are the sweetest of the day. When my corn cob pipe is started and the smoke is drawing prime, my old woman says, "I reckon, Ike, it's candlelight in time." Then the children snuggle up to me and all commence to call, "Oh, say, Daddy, now it's time to make the shadows on the wall." So I put my hands together. Every daddy knows the way. And the children snuggle close around. His eye begins to say, "Now, first thing, here comes Mr. Rabbit." There he is. Don't you see him work his ears? Uh-huh. "And this must be a donkey. Look how innocent he appears. That's old Black Swan a-swimming. Ain't she got an awful neck? And what's this fella that's a-coming? Why, that's old dog Trey, I spec." That's the way I run on, trying to please him all I can. Then I hollers, "Be careful now. This here's a boogerman." They run and hide their faces. They ain't scared, they're just letting on. But the play ain't really over till that boogerman's gone. So I just take up my banjo, play a little tune, and you can see them heads come peeking out to listen mighty soon. Then my wife says, Such a pappy for to give you such a fright. Just you go to bed and leave him. Say your prayers and say goodnight. This is the debt I pay just for one riotous day. Years of regret and grief, sorrow without relief. Pay it I will to the end, until the grave, my friend, gives me a true release, gives me the clasp of peace. Slight was the thing I bought. Small was the debt, I thought. Poor was the loan at best. God, but the interest.
Sometimes I feel
boards torn up and places with no carpet on the floor, bare. But all the time, I've been a-climbing on and reaching landings and turning corners and sometimes going in the dark where there ain't been no light. So, boy, don't you turn back. Don't you set down on the steps 'cause you find it's kind of hard. Don't you fall now. Still going, honey. I'm still climbing. And life for me ain't been no crystal stair.
Go away and quit that noise, Miss Lucy. Put that music book away. What's the use of it? Keep on trying. If you practice till you're gray, you can't stop. No notes are flying like the ones that rap and ring from the kitchen to the big woods, when Melinda sings.
You ain't got the natural organs for to make the sound come right. You ain't got the turns and twistings for to make it sweet and light. Tell you one thing now, Miss Lucy, and I'm telling you for true. When it comes to real right singing, tain't no easy thing to do.
Easy enough for folks to holler, looking at the dots and lines, when there ain't no one can sense it, and the tune comes in spots. But for real melodious music, that just strikes your heart and clings, well, just you stand and listen with me when Melinda sings.
Ain't you never heard Melinda? Blessed soul, take up the cross. Look here, ain't you joking, honey? Well, you don't know what you lost. You ought to hear that gal a-wobbling. Robins, larks, and all them things hush their mouths and hide their faces when Melinda sings.
Fiddling man just stops his fiddling. Yeah, he lays fiddle on the shelf. Mockingbird, he quit trying to whistle because he's just so ashamed of himself. Folks are playing on the banjo. They drape their fingers o'er the strings. Bless your soul, they forgets to move when Melinda sings.
She just spreads her mouth and hollers, "Come to Jesus," till you hear sinners' trembling steps and voices, timid like, a draw near. Then she turns to Rock of Ages, simply to the cross she clings, and you find your tears a-dropping when Melinda sings.
And who that say that humble prayers with the master never counts? Hush your mouth, I hear that music as it rises up and mounts, floating by the hills and valleys, way above this barren side, as it makes its way in glory to the very gates of God.
Oh, it's sweeter than the music of an educated band, and it's dearer than the battle songs of triumph in the land. It seems holier than evening when the solemn church bell rings, as I sit and calmly listen while Melinda sings.
Tarzan, will you stop that barking, you hear me? Mandy, make that child keep still. Don't you hear the echoes calling from the valleys to the hill? Let me listen. I can hear it. As though the brush of angel wings, soft and sweet, swing low, sweet chariot. Yes, that's how Melinda sings.
Grow up. Leave luckless rabbits to their leaping. Scatter the magic powder in the trash. The loaded dice that wink from pawn shop windows cannot explode the web of caste and cash from which no conquering root shall set you free. The only exit is reality.
Old I was born in slums that reeked of color. Reading the numbers, knew the wheel was fixed. Early I learned to flip the coin of maybe, caught in a cage where every yes is nixed. The real world is the wrongest world I see. Hand me my dream book, dreamer. Let me be.
I doubt not God is good, well-meaning, kind. And did he stoop to quibble, could tell why the little buried mole continues blind, why flesh that mirrors him must someday die. Inscrutable his ways are, and immune to catechism, by a mind too strewn with petty cares to slightly understand what awful brain compels his awful hand. Yet do I marvel at this curious thing, to make a poet black and bid him sing.
Deep river. That sounds good.